Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
24 degrees at kickoff for the Chiefs game. We know the Lions game will have nice weather. 32 degrees for the Eagles game and 19 in Buffalo. That's right now. Could go down to like 10 or 9 in Buffalo. And that's the game. And here to talk about these games, unfortunately, none of which include the Steelers, is our friend Nick Costos, host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Check the latest lines on the BetMGM app and catch You Better You Bet weekdays 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern on the BetQL network and watch from 6 to 7 p.m. on NBC Sports Now on Peacock. That's 6 to 7 Eastern time. Nick, you can also see him on our YouTube page, Donnie, which has taken off here.
Yes, it has.
It has really taken off. A lot of people subscribe to our YouTube page. Don't cost nothing. And you can get a look at Donnie Football, Nick Costos in the middle there. You can see my Sabres hat, Nick. I have an emotional investment in the Buffalo Bills. I grew up there. I hate them for what they did to Flutie, but I love them from my childhood, and all my friends and parents are watching.
What did they do to Flutie?
No, they went. They benched
Rob Johnson.
Yes, they went to Rob Johnson after Flutie.
This was like 25 years ago. You're still upset over Rob Johnson and Rob Johnson, like, won that game against the Titans in the wild card round. Played, like, the entire final drive with only one shoe on. Like, they won the game, and then the Titans had the Music City Miracle.
Nick,
right?
I have all my resentments from sports and life alphabetized for the last 40 years. So, yes, I'm still resentful
over that.
That's
a weird one, though. Like, we're still hung up on Doug Flutie.
Yes.
Like, you're not upset at, like, losing four straight Super Bowls in the early 90s?
Well, that hurt.
Hung up on Doug Flutie and Rob Johnson?
Yes, I am.
Jimmy Johnson for stepping on the Flutie flakes?
They lied to him.
That wild card game in the late 90s?
I have a bag of Flutie flakes. I was at the playoff game in Miami when Flutie should have beaten the Dolphins, but the Dolphins cheated as they always did. Do the Bills have a chance here? Give me some bets from the Bills game.
Do they have a chance? Of course, yeah, they definitely have a chance. Do I think they're going to win? No, I don't. I love the Ravens. Sorry to say that in Pittsburgh. Wow, it was great. I love it. I love the interaction. A lot of angry Steelers fans last week because I said the Steelers suck on the show. They do. Also, I bet them. So, like, I suck the most because, like, I had Steelers plus 10 last week. Where it's like, Steelers suck. How does it feel to be a Giants fan? Yeah, well, both of our teams are now, like, in Cancun together. So, it feels pretty good. I think the Ravens are going to win. I think they're going to win maybe by 7 to 10 points here. I don't think this is team with the ball last wins the game. I think Baltimore might have the game in hand. Now, I don't think the Ravens will get to or win the Super Bowl. I'll take Kansas City next week in that AFC Championship game if and when we get it. But I feel pretty strong about Baltimore winning. Buffalo has an undersized defense. I think the Ravens will run all over them. And I think the Ravens are a flat-out better team than the Bills are. The Ravens are my favorite bet of the weekend in any of the four games to win and advance to the title game.
Well, Nick, that was going to be the question I was going to ask next, your favorite bet of the weekend. But I guess out of the other three games, keeping the big one aside, how do you feel, I guess, trickling down? Ones you feel best about to worst about?
So what I'm looking to do with the Lions-Commanders game, I would really like to tease Detroit. What you want to do with teasers generally, and this will be like a 15-second thing, you want to tease either up through 3-7 or down through 7-3. The two numbers that land the most. So Detroit right now is -9.5 at BetMGM, which means if you tease Detroit down, you tease them down to 3.5, which means if they win by 3, the most common number, you lose. So you don't want to do that. But Detroit has been in range a couple times this week at -8.5, where you could tease them down to -2.5. If you win by three, you win. That's what you want. And you could tease Detroit and Kansas City. That was available earlier in the week, both down to -2.5. I think the Chiefs and the Lions will both win. I don't know if they'll cover. If people want to do a money line parlay, I would play both favorites on Saturday. I feel pretty good about that. The Chiefs and the Lions both winning. As far as the Rams and the Eagles go, total in the game is now sitting 43.5. I like the over, and I'll like it even more. And I heard you guys talking about one of the, maybe like the update talking about this. Maybe snow in the forecast on Sunday in both Philly and Buffalo, and going to be really, really cold. And we've talked about this, guys, over the course of the season on the show. The thing that screws up offenses is not snow or rain, unless it's like a biblical proportions. It's wind. Wind is what messes up an offense, messes up a passing game. And the number that you generally are looking for, and this is all publicly available stuff, you go Google, weather app on your iPhone, 25 mile per hour winds. That's the number you're looking for. That's what can start to impact a passing game. It looks like this is going to be like 10 mile per hour winds in these games. And if there's snow on the ground, snow actually helps the offense because the offensive players know where they're going. The defensive players don't. Like it actually, this stuff matters. So if there's snow on the ground, I actually think it like makes my over even better in the Rams and Eagles game. And my sense, guys, is that the Eagles, because they always do, will draw betting interest in between now and kickoff on Sunday. I don't know if it goes up to a full 7. It's currently Eagles -6, but maybe it goes to 6.5. I'm looking for the best number to take the points with the Rams, not necessarily to win the game. I do think that like the Eagles will probably win a very close game, but I do think the Rams will keep this close probably until the final drive.
Do you have numbers on things like the Steelers' next quarterback? Do you look at things like that? Because the odds...
Well, maybe we can talk about it.
Yeah, you know, the odds I saw the other day were said Aaron Rodgers was in the lead, and I just don't see that happening. But what are your thoughts about the Steelers' next QB?
I don't know. I think they might be like a brain-dead operation at this point now. Aaron Rodgers? Like
Darnold's been thrown out there.
Sam
Darnold has been thrown out there.
Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I mean, like, did anyone watch what Sam Darnold just did the last couple games? Like, if the Steelers wanted to draft a quarterback and pay Darnold, like, $10 million for 1 year. Here's my opinion. Sam Darnold showed in the last two games of the season that he doesn't deserve a Baker Mayfield contract. He deserves a Sam Darnold contract. Baker got 3 years, $100 million. Who's giving that? The Steelers are going to give Sam Darnold a three-year deal? You want that guy as your starting quarterback? The whole thing with the Steelers is they can't win a playoff game. You want this guy coming in as your quarterback? And I'll just take the step. This isn't the question you asked, but I'm going to give you something else here. If Mike Tomlin isn't open to being traded, the Steelers should fire him. Like this, like enough. Enough already. He's a great coach. He's an awesome coach. He would be hired immediately. Like when the Eagles fired Andy Reid, he was hired by the Chiefs like 2 days later. Like, Tomlin would get another job immediately, and he would probably go and win wherever he went. He's a great coach. I'm not saying he's a bad coach, but, like, this has run its course. 6 straight playoff losses, 96 points, rudderless operation, uninspired football. And I felt this way, guys, and I bet the game, and I bet the Steelers, so I was pretty pissed. At halftime on Saturday on Amazon Prime, Kaylee Hartung's interviewing Mike Tomlin. They're getting their asses kicked. And he does his typical Mike Tomlin rah-rah BS, which is only, it's not BS overall, but it's BS when you get your ass kicked 5 straight games to end the season. Like, enough. Like, who's the next quarterback? Who's the next coach? That's what the Steelers should be talking about right now, in my opinion.
How about that passion? And that's one of the great rants I think we've ever gotten here, Joe.
That was unbelievable. Who's going to win?
It's okay.
I liked it. Who's going to win defensive? We've been talking about that all week. Mm-hmm. Like people just shoot down this idea of a trade. What's so crazy about it? Multiple
they
coaches
do
have
it.
Been traded.
But
yes, they should.
Why do you want him? And he's, again, like, he won a Super Bowl. He went to another. You can't take it away from him. He's an awesome coach, just to reiterate. Because I love people, you think Mike Tomlin sucks? No, he's great. I'm a Giants fan. I'd love for him to coach my team. Like, why do you guys still want him to coach the team? Like, isn't the whole point to win a Super Bowl? Isn't that the whole thing? You can't win a damn playoff game.
Most people at this point don't, if you're in this town. We've been talking about that all week. Anyway, Defensive Player of the Year and MVP. Who are the odds on favorites right now? It seems like Lamar, based on that first team All Pro nomination, right?
Yeah, so you can't bet this stuff anymore. Like, the market's closed. My guess as to who wins, I think Lamar is going to win. I think it's going to be very close. I think there are some people that will that have voted Lamar first team All-Pro as a way to kind of reward him for a better statistical season and will still vote Josh Allen MVP. But I do think that Lamar is likely to win. I think TJ Watt is zero to win Defensive Player of the Year. I think it'll be Patrick Surtain and then Myles Garrett. I think Patrick Surtain will win, the Denver Broncos corner. Myles Garrett second. I have talked to at least one voter. I'm friends with a lot. I worked in the league for a long time. At least one voter who will not have TJ Watt on his ballot at all for Defensive Player of the Year this year.
Appreciate the time, Nick. We'll talk to you next week.
Looking forward to it. Wishing everyone Minimal Sweats Winning Bets the absolute very best of luck.
That was the host of You Better You Bet, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider Nick Kostos. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines on the BetMGM app. He did get into it with Steeler fans last week after his appearance on our show, Donnie. It got ugly for a minute there.
I was surprised that he had faith that the Steelers would cover that spread, just knowing their playoff history a little bit.
I didn't think they'd go there and quit. And even though they quit, they had the ball on the Ravens 37 with a chance to cover with 8 minutes left. That's a hell of a large spread.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like that I had that game more than any other pegged, not quite on the score, but pretty much on the money. I thought it would be a 14-point game where the Ravens had a bigger lead than 14 points most of the time, and the Steelers kind of clawed back and made it a game. And that's precisely what we got. Joe, something else I find interesting here.
Yes.
I know it'll be a little like random conversation. He was bringing up the All-Pro thing and MVP discussion with Josh Allen and Lamar. So just out of curiosity, I have like the Steelers draft history pulled up. And it has a part where it says, you know, a column for first team All-Pro selections for whatever given player.
Yeah.
You got to scroll a pretty good bit before you find a single guy that they have drafted in the last decade to have any All-Pro nod. TJ's the only guy. He has four.
Who's the next guy on that list? Is that what you're asking me?
The next guy on that list that has any sort of All-Pro nod before TJ.
Before TJ.
Yeah, actually, I'm interested to see if either of you guys get this.
DeCastro?
He does have two, but there was one player more recently.
Probably Pouncey, 2010.
Well, no. Pouncey was before DeCastro.
Before DeCastro. Was it offense or defense?
Offense. Donnie? It was drafted more recently than...
Antonio. No, he was 2010.
Yeah, he was in the same as Pouncey.
Wasn't Juju, was it?
No.
Wasn't Lev Bell?
It was Lev Bell.
Lev Bell.
He had two. But, I mean, there are a lot of years where you just scroll down and it's 0-0-0-0 all the way through. You got to go all the way back to 2017 with TJ Watt to find just a first-team All-Pro player. Now, you have Cam Hayward, too. He's obviously further down that list, but
that's
a bit damning about their draft history.
And here's the other thing. Even their most talented players like Le'Veon Bell have completely flaked out on them. And certainly didn't deliver championships, but more than that, just flaked out. Him, Antonio Brown, looking like Pickens, like these guys they've had that have been so talented. That's what has happened on offense. And I truly believe in the last 6 years, or since they first turned their eye to the post-Roethlisberger era, which I believe was when they drafted Mason Rudolph, their best pick offensively relative to his peers is Kevin Dotson, and they screwed him up here. He had to go be good somewhere else.
And he was a fourth rounder. That would have been a hell of a find. That would have been that would have been a pick that we circle and say, man, they found this dude at pick 135 and look what he's turned into.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Donnie, very quickly, before we get to Bechtold's breakdown, but I like the music and keep playing it, please, Bechtold. Jerry Dulac said on a show, I can't remember where, yesterday, honestly, that...
Was it Rich Eisen? He was on
yes,
with him
it was.
Recently.
Yes, it was. That the Tomlin deal was 3 years for $50 million, and that's why they won't move off it. Ray Fittipaldo telling us they won't move off some of these assistants because of money. What is happening here? Do we have a mix between Bob Nutting and Art? Is it now Art Nutting and Bob Rooney II? What is happening here?
I mean, I still, and I told you during the break how I'm still kind of caught up over that, like what Ray painted there, saying, yeah, they have Terrell Austin and Pat Meyer under contract for one more season. And now I get that Ray is speculating on the total price, but he's probably close because we do know beyond head coach, they pay their assistants less than anybody else in football, saying collectively they'd have to pay those guys $3 million if they fired them. Do you realize how pathetic that sounds for an NFL franchise to say that? That would be like somebody here getting fired and they said, well, I don't know if we could fire Donnie, or I don't know if we can fire Joe, or if we can fire Austin. We have to pay them like $30 if we fire them.
It's crazy. It really is. It's just
blasphemy.
Even when you get to the head coach, I mean, okay, so I still don't get, as Costos was saying, and I've been saying all week, I still don't get why the idea of trading him is so wild and crazy and oh my God. But that's talk for another day. It's time for a Bechtold breakdown.
For Friday, January 17th, and for the first time, the Bechtold breakdown is sponsored. Southside Plumbing and Heating sponsoring
yeah, baby.
The breakdown.
Southside Jake,
my guy. I trust him. I love him. He's the man, and he helps bring this breakdown, beginning with Roger Goodell, Donnie, saying that the logical step forward for the NFL is an 18-game regular season. The NFL, after adding 17 games just a few short years ago, now already trending in the direction that we all thought, 18 games. At some point in 2050, it'll probably be 20 and no preseason.
Yeah, I think this was only a matter of time. Now, I don't think he put an exact date on when they were looking to have this happen, but the moment they went to 17, you knew that they were going to go to 18 in even less time it took for them to go to 16 to 17. And they would go 18 regular season games, 2 preseason games. And I'm hoping that they also work in 2 bye weeks with this. I didn't see the full report on if he said the bye weeks would be added. I do know that, what was it, 1993, Joe, that they had an 18-week season and they had 2 bye weeks worked in there?
Don't remember.
An 18-game season with 2 bye weeks worked in.
1993.
They did it like 1 year in the early 90s. Anyway, yeah, it was only a matter of time. And just with the addition, too, of international games that we are seeing, because more than ever before, it looks like we are going to get this season. 5 are already confirmed. The reports that the Steelers will host a game in Ireland. There's probably another one or two along with that. Are they going back to Brazil? They could be more along the lines of 6 to 8 international games too. I wonder what the schedule would look like when they do this, because I know some people are hoping, hey, let's start it Labor Day weekend and let's end it on President's Day weekend with the Super Bowl, because that gives a lot of people what we've heard some complain about over the years. Hey, the day after the Super Bowl, that should be a holiday for us. And now it can be without making it one, because if you end it on President's Day weekend, there you go.
Yeah, this whole thing stinks. They should go back to 14.
What?
Old man yelling at cloud. There's too many games. There's too many baseball games. 82-game seasons in hockey and basketball are too many, and 18's a joke. The Steelers can't get through a season healthy as it is. Their old guys on defense are not there at the end of the season every year. Quarterbacks get hurt left and right in this league. 18 football games is stupid.
Oh, get out of here. Bring on 18 games. I love it. Lamar's healthy. Burrow's healthy. C.J. Stroud is healthy. Justin Herbert healthy.
How many times has Lamar been healthy for the playoffs? How many times?
Has Lamar been healthy?
Yeah.
He missed 1 year for the playoffs. That happens. It's football.
So did
Burrow. Going to get hurt.
People get hurt more with more games. There's just too many, Donnie.
See, I agree with you on all the other sports. I think football normally has it down to a pretty good science. Like, it was really good when it was 16. It's still good now with 17. I don't think they can push it, though, any more than what they're already doing. Like, if they once they do move to 18, I don't think you can really push it any more than that.
You can't push the human body any more than that.
You can't go, well, let's do 20 now. Or
I'll tell you what it's going to usher in, too, is the age of load management in the NFL. So I certainly look forward to that. Next.
Could we have a branch on the Mike Tomlin coaching tree? According to Tom Pelissero, the Falcons are interviewing Steelers secondary coach Grady Brown for their defensive coordinator position.
A very small branch.
How about that?
May emerge.
Adrian Branch. Remember him from Maryland?
I remember Deion Branch.
Deion Branch was the MVP of the Super Bowl.
He had some really good years.
Well, this would be good, I suppose. You know, did their secondary perform this season? I don't know.
No.
Joey Porter took a step back to me, and that's the key guy there. Minka hasn't had a turnover since Mulsey had hair. He's had one in the last 2 years.
He's going to start in center field for the Buccos in a few months.
I don't know. I'm a little nonplussed with the job that he did in the secondary.
I cannot believe Atlanta is interested.
But
maybe they should ask for Artie back.
Something else that we said and I brought up during the break is, I almost hope in some of these cases that Steelers coaches get interviews and they get these other jobs, because it forces the Steelers to put somebody else in that spot.
Yeah, like I would love for the Jets to hire Artie.
Yeah, like we said, what if one of these teams do hire Arthur Smith as the head coach? Then the Steelers are forced into finding another offensive coordinator.
You know how bad it is that you're begging somebody else to take the coaches you have on your own staff?
And it's,
seriously.
Yeah, I mean, it's also just to force a little bit of change, because it just feels like there's going to be none.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. You've already done the Bechtold breakdown sponsor, have you?
I did, yes. Southside Plumbing and Heating.
Our thanks to them.
Our guide Southside Jake just texted in. He's listening.
Next.
I wonder what he thought of this take, and I want to know what you think of it, Joe. We got to hear Colin Cowherd's thoughts on the Steelers last week from FS1, which were pretty spot on. This one, though, not as much, and I think Donnie knows what I'm talking about. He proposed that the Steelers trade T.J. Watt, George Pickens, a 2025 first-round pick, and a 2026 first-round draft pick, at least two first-round picks, for the rights to draft Shedeur Sanders, number one overall.
I'll say this, everybody who laughs at that, my only objection here is I'm not that big on Sanders. If I thought there was a guy at the top of the draft, I'm moving mountains to get my quarterback, because you can't win without one, period. They already have shown they can't win with T.J. Watt. You can't win without a franchise quarterback. So if you told me there was a guy at top this was Andrew Luck's year or something, and he was at the top of the draft, I would do that in a heartbeat. But I'm just not sure. I haven't seen enough of Shedeur Sanders. I haven't seen enough to have what I would consider a good, educated opinion. I want to have some people on the show who can help enlighten me on him. I've seen him play 3 or 4 games.
I also think with that player specifically, you have to factor in how much of an impact will Deion have and how much of a headache could Deion become.
Yeah. Because, well, Deion may be distracted if he's the coach of the Cowboys or something.
Well, if he gets that, I think he's going to dictate that they move mountains to draft his kid.
And they'll trade Dak Prescott.
Maybe here.
That's likely what could happen. That's what's probably going to happen, Joe. They're going to sign Deion to be their head coach, draft Shedeur Sanders, and move off of Dak.
Where do they pick in the draft? The Cowboys.
12th or 13th?
Yeah, he can't just will that to happen, to have his kid on the team. Right?
I think it's possible.
This isn't like a little league draft. He's not going to show up at the restaurant and say, hey, first things first here, I got to coach my kid.
This is Jerry Jones we're talking about here.
So they can move up to draft him, but the Steelers can't?
Who, Shedeur Sanders?
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to give up Micah Parsons and their left tackle and 2 first-round picks to do it. They also don't have to move mountains as much as the Steelers would have to from 21.
From 21, right?
Yeah, the Steelers would have to go almost 10 spots more. Dallas only has to go from 12 to 1. I get what you're saying. I definitely wouldn't do it for that specific player. The guys, we talked about this yesterday. I don't know. Maybe it's just the nature of how I am. I don't know if I would do it for just a college kid who hasn't been in the league yet. I know that's when sometimes those big trades happen. I feel like that's when you can get burned on something like that. Now, if you give me a pick of guys around the league, there are definitely a handful I would move heaven and earth for. Maybe even more than what is on the table there. But there's like the top tier guys in the league.
Right. If this was the year that, like I said, Andrew Luck was the first pick, Peyton Manning was the first pick. Man, I'm looking. Joe Burrow? Would you do this for Joe Burrow coming out of LSU?
Yes.
I sure would. So, yeah, I get it. I get why people are like, this is the craziest thing they've ever heard. But he did add the qualifier if they think he's that guy.
No, he's not that guy. You're not that guy.
How do you know? How do you know Sanders isn't that guy?
Just from what I've seen, I
feel like he'd be like okay to decent NFL player.
How many teams have missed on a quarterback with the first pick? I just called it up just since the year 2000.
Well, the Browns about a dozen times.
David Carr, Alex Smith
Houston.
Was a miss. Jamarcus Russell.
All-time miss.
Sam Bradford. A couple of them they hit on, though. Matthew Stafford was a hit. Cam Newton was a hit. Andrew Luck was a hit. Jameis Winston.
How about Mariota right behind him? They were 1-2.
Remember the Jake Locker draft?
Yes.
Tennessee.
Baker Mayfield was one overall. They should have kept Baker Mayfield. Yep. Kyler Murray, Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence. Everybody thought, and I did too, that Trevor Lawrence was a can't-miss guy.
The next one.
Didn't you think so?
That's how they portrayed it. Elway.
I mean,
but
you watched him in college. I thought for sure he was going to be a great player, even after his second year in the league. I picked going into year 3. They won a playoff game. Him and Doug Peterson looked like a happy marriage. Going into last season, I think I may have picked Lawrence as the MVP
so
of the league.
I'm pretty positive I did.
There was a crazy stat that he lost more games in either his first or second year with the Jaguars than he did in high school and college combined.
Mm-hmm. It's unreal. I'm sorry, Limits. I interrupted Bechtold's breakdown.
Well, Joe, I'll throw this one at you. We were wondering about what the PM team was going to riff about in regards to me being a part of their show. This is what it was. My poll that went out a couple days ago, which team is in best position to succeed over the next 5 years? The Pirates, the Penguins, or the Steelers? What would you like to guess that nearly 2,000 people who voted in the poll voted for out of the 3 options?
I mean, to me, there's a clear answer, even though I have no faith that it's going to pay off, and that's which team is best positioned? The Pirates.
The Pirates, 46%. The Penguins, 15%. The Steelers, 38.5%. How about that?
Donnie?
Yeah, I mean, I saw the results, so I'm glad you asked, Joe, because I knew which way everybody was leaning since we talked about it. And I can understand people picking the Pirates, and I think in years past I would have been one of those people picking the Pirates because they have Paul Skeens, They have some good pitchers behind him, too, on that staff.
I mean, the only thing the question asks is who's best positioned. They have, the 7 or 9 pick this year, too?
Yes.
The Pirates?
I think it's the eighth or ninth pick.
But it's just given their history, it is hard to put a lot of faith in that because until they make a true effort building around what they have and taking advantage of what they have, I feel like it's hard for me to make them the answer.
No, I hear that. But the question wasn't who's going to be the next team to win big in Pittsburgh or win anything of significance. It's who's best positioned. I don't like the people making the decisions, I can tell you that. But in terms of young talent and draft picks, they are best positioned. I don't think they'll take advantage of it, but I do think they're in the best position.
I think the Pirates, too. I have no hope with the Penguins right now, Donnie, with the end of an era, with no hope in sight, not as many draft. I mean, who have they drafted over the last 3 or 4 years that give you any hope?
I mean, who have they drafted over the last 10? We talk about the Steelers draft, the Penguins.
Penguins,
we talk about the Steelers misses in drafts. I mean, they're another great case. The only thing where I would put the pause on the Pirates and give hope to the Steelers in this case, if they do hit on a quarterback within the next 5 years, I know it's a big if, about as big as if the Pirates would actually build around Paul Skeens. If they do hit on a quarterback, they are right back in the conversation.
Absolutely, but they're horribly positioned. That's the whole point. The Steelers are stuck in the middle, and this offseason is a great example. They are so poorly positioned that the one spot that they need to fix, there don't appear to be any answers in the draft or free agency or trade or in-house. Do you know of anywhere else to look?
No. Under your pillow?
In your car seat?
Under the bed?
Either. Any spare change in the cushions?
Now, Austin, another question I had with this. What was your definition of succeed? Just win a playoff game, win a playoff series?
It's sad that the expectations have dipped that low at this point. But, yes, like how far can you go in the playoffs? You know, like if you win, the Pirates won 98 games in 2015. I think most people consider 2013 more successful because they won in the playoffs.
Yeah, I would. But the other thing working against them there is just the nature of the league they're in against the, you know, against the NHL and NFL.
Yeah.
Like Major League Baseball is so slanted to
the
big
top
money
dogs.
Teams.
Yeah.
The top dogs that get you top dollar.
Top dog law. Next.
All right. Pony threw this one out there. The candidates for the worst contract in Pittsburgh sports.
Mm.
Now, he threw a couple of names on here that I was kind of surprised about, but at the top of his list was Minka, Patrick Queen, Tristan Jarry, Eric Carlson, Key Brian Hayes, and then the coaches, Tomlin, Sullivan, and Narduzzi.
So do you have some figures for us? How much was Minka's deal worth? I'm going to go. I was listening to this yesterday.
Minka's 4 years, $73
million. Yeah, I'm going to go Key Brian Hayes. He doesn't play. And when he does play, it's some of the worst stuff I've ever seen in my life. I have never in 45 years of religiously watching the Pirates, I have never seen a baseball player top the ball as much as he does when he comes to the plate. It's infuriating. It's maddening. $70 million, right, for him?
Over $70 million, $73 million.
Yeah, I feel like the figures with him really aren't that bad, but the fact is he's always hurt and he's horrible at the plate. I mean, good fielder, great fielder, whatever. The back issue seems like a chronic thing. Like he has the back of somebody who's 70 years old.
Right. And that to me is the worst one. What are some of the other numbers? Like Minka is still a functional player. Sometimes he's a good player. He's not living up to his contract. Don't get me wrong. But since he signed it, didn't he have a year where he had 6 interceptions?
He had a great year.
It's not Minka. That's not a good contract. Who else is in
there? Eric Carlson, 8 years, $92 million. His cap hit's 11.5 per year.
But doesn't San Jose take up some of that?
They take up $1 million.
And he plays, and sometimes he plays well, and sometimes he's fun to watch. It's a horrible contract, but it's not Key Brian Hayes. It's not $77 million for nothing.
Well, talking just player-centric, keeping coaches out of it, I did not think this was the case until I completely broke it down. Tristan Jarry is the worst deal. 5 years at $27 million. He has been a complete shell of himself and what he was when he first came up.
Yeah.
I had never had faith in him when they signed the contract. I knew that this was going to set them back. I didn't know it would be this bad. But
what was your choice?
Jari's
a good pick.
Well, the day that the Jari news happened, I led my show with that the other night, whichever night that was, Tuesday or Wednesday, about Jari being one of the worst contracts that I can ever remember in Pittsburgh sports. And
yes.
I know there are always plenty, and I had people chime in with ones that they wanted to. But the fact that Kyle Dubas walked in here, and I know that the former regime did him no favors. I know that Ron Hextall was not good in his position, but he didn't make him sign Tristan Jari to a 5-year deal. He didn't make Kyle Dubas sign Ryan Graves to a 6-year deal. His first two contracts right out of the gate are two of the worst that the Penguins have had in their history.
Yeah.
Because Graves, the guy is a healthy scratch half of the time. He has 0 points on the season. He's, I don't even know what his plus minus is. I know he's well into the negatives. And then with Tristan Jari, not only does he not live out the contract at even a mediocre level, he didn't make it 2 years in to a 5-year deal before you're ready to cut bait. They send the guy to the minors because no team in their right mind would claim him, and they're just going to buy him out at the end of the season.
Yeah, the only caveat there, and it's up there, is $70+ million compared to $27 or $25 million.
Yeah, I just think,
and I realize the two leagues, it's
a different percentage. Yeah, the financials are a little bit different.
We'd have to figure out what percentage of the Penguins' payroll Jari takes up, and what percentage of the Pirates' payroll. Who has a bigger? Wait a second here. Who had a bigger payroll? What's the NHL cap this year? Do the Penguins?
85.
I think the Penguins in a cap league had a bigger payroll than the Pirates.
That sounds about.
It was right around the same area. Yeah.
Aren't the Pirates at like 87?
Yeah, I'm going Key Brian Hayes. I'm sorry. It's the worst. How about Ladarius Green? Anybody mention him?
There were people that texted and tweeted at me about Ladarius Green. I remember that. He had the
Dante
one big
Moncrief?
Game.
I don't know what he signed for.
Green had the one big game against the Giants, and that was it. He was either hurt or just terrible.
Jari only takes up 5% of their cap.
Yeah.
At least buried cap number.
And how much does Key Brian take up? Is he a $15 million a year guy? That's not right, is it?
No.
How much does he take up? $7 million a year? I can't figure my math.
It was seven for a while.
The other player I got a whole lot of the other day was Jack Johnson, another great Penguin signing.
He's a great one, and they bought him out. So I think they either last year they stopped paying him, or this year they're still paying him.
Yeah,
I can't remember which.
He made it like 1 year into his 5-year deal. Charlie, I was with him the other night when we had this conversation, thank God, because he's a huge hockey fan. He also brought up the point that buyout forced them into getting rid of good players that they had on their cup run.
Yes.
They had to trade Phil Kessel, and they had to move on from a few other key role players on those cup teams because of that Jack Johnson signing.
Here's the thing about that signing, too. Like, I can see rationale, some at least a tiny bit. Even Ryan Graves, even Jari, 2-time All-Star. The most irrational signing that I've ever seen in this town was Jack Johnson. It made zero sense. It was like Rutherford was trying to do the dude a favor. It was just weird, like he felt bad for him, a guy that he had picked in Carolina. It was the strangest, most nonsensical, everybody knew was horrible signing that I've ever seen in this town.
Wasn't he Crosby's buddy, too?
He was, from way back, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it had more to do with Rutherford.
Didn't they also choose to sign Jeff Carter instead of Tanev?
Something like that.
So they protected Carter
And
Tanev got taken by the Kraken.
Yeah.
Key Brian Hayes, if he did not sign that deal, would have been arbitration eligible this upcoming year and the year after. He has $7 million on the book for the next 3 years, like he did last year. Then it's $8 million. He's a club option for 2030 at $12 million.
The other thing.
Oh, my God. Come on, Donnie. That's the worst contract in history.
The thing that's so there is, even if he's like a base level player overall, it's not a bad deal whatsoever.
Right.
Given the money that is thrown around in baseball.
All right. Thank you, Austin.
Thank you.
What a wonderful man
you've
become.